walked upon the earth. His power showed through mighty works. He healed the sick and caused the blind to see again. Sometimes he touched, sometimes he prayed, but when a man was brought one day to ask for healing, that his body would be cleansed, Jesus said, "Arise," and his word was sufficient.
Inside a garden full of gloom, two women wept before a tomb. Their brother Lazarus had now been dead for days. Jesus said, "Take the stone away," lifted his eyes, began to pray, then spoke three words that echoed through that place: "Lazarus, come forth," and his word was sufficient.
Three Roman crosses on a hill, three men were tortured, nailed, and killed. Jesus, the Word made flesh, was buried in the ground. Would God accept this sacrifice? Would his atoning blood suffice? He left no doubt when 3 days later he walked out. He's the living Word, and the Word is sufficient.
Word. All right, good evening. Good to have you in the house of the Lord tonight. Looking forward to what the Lord asked for us. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to meet with us tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you. And dear Father, we thank you for those that are in the church house tonight. God, I pray that you might meet with us tonight, speak to each heart and life tonight. Help us to be willing to follow your word. And I do pray for those that are not able to be here tonight, that you might be with them in a special way, watch over them, heal their bodies, be at the different situations. But God, meet with us and bless the reading and preaching of your word in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good to see you all this evening. Let's all stand as we turn in our hymnals to page number 12, Rock of Ages. Let's sing all three verses this evening. Page number 12.
Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy rib inside which flowed be of sin the double cure. Save from breath and make me pure. Could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no languor know? These for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. While I draw this fleeting breath, when mine eyes shall close in death, when I soar to worlds unknown, see me on thy judgment throne. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee.
Thank you. You may be seated. Let's turn over to page 13. Guide me, O thou great Jehovah. Page number 13, we'll do all three of this one as well.
Guide me, O thou great Jehovah, pilgrim through this barren land. I am weak, but thou art mighty. Hold me with thy powerful hand. Bread of heaven, bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Feed me till I want no more. Open now the crystal fountain whence the healing stream doth flow. Let the fire and cloudy pillar lead me all my journey through. Strong deliverer, strong deliverer, be thou still my strength and shield. Be thou still my strength and shield. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fears subside. Bear me through the swelling current, land me safe on Canaan's side. Songs of praises, songs of praises, I will add the gift to thee. I will ever give to thee.
Amen. All right. One thing about this song. It said, lead me safely on Canaan's side. Is Canaan land a picture of heaven? It is? So when you went into Canaan land, that was a picture of heaven? I don't think so. I think there was fighting. I think there was defeats. I think it was a picture of the victorious Christian life. But a lot of songs, you know, over in Canaan land and everything like that represents heaven. And heaven's a wonderful place. No sickness, no sorrow, no pain, no IRS taxes, no nothing like that. But that's just that. Anyway, good to have you in the house of the Lord tonight. And thank you for your participation last Sunday night. The teens made over $1,200. Amen. That's a good start. So we're going to have one every Sunday night through the year. And no, we probably need to have one more. But thank you so much for your participation. Who bought the eggs? I know the Ames. Who else bought a dozen eggs? Okay, you did. Okay, they're in the office. I licked them all, so they're ready to go. All right, so praise the Lord. So, Saturday, how many of you are planning to go Saturday? Are you guys going? You two? Rose and... No? Okay. The Glores and Brother Roe? Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Well, you guys need to meet and make sure you need to know what time you're going to leave and everything. That will be this Saturday. Also, Operation Saturation will be at 10 o'clock. Come and go with us. Come and knock doors with us. Hand out tracts. We still have a lot of area to cover, and we need your help. Sunday, looking forward to the day Sunday. Mother's Day is coming up, special music, message, and gift for all the mothers. Lone Star Baptist College will be with us that evening. And then Sunday, May 24th, 4 o'clock afternoon service, followed by fellowship at Pastor's House or in the fellowship hall. So remember that. Can I tell them the date for the wedding? Okay. They've set a date for September the 4th. That's Friday before Labor Day. And that it'll be here, right? Here? We're talking about here? Okay, here. Here. And so they're trying to work out all the details, but that works out good for them. Alex can't do it in November. Leah can't do it in November. We can't do it in December. And I said, well, what about January, February? No, I can't do that. So put that date down. I know it's a holiday weekend. That way their friends from college can make it without missing classes and things like that. So, all right, well, let's all stand, have a time of fellowship, then we'll take the offering tonight.
I have to do it's our year-end project. There's like a presentation that all the high schools have to do on Saturday morning.
This Saturday?
Yeah, so I won't be able to make it to visits.
Me and Sarah are trying to get out of town. Sarah, Joseph's getting a hard time. I don't know if we will, but maybe we'll wait till Monday. But anyway, but thanks for letting me know. Yeah. Thank you. right, find your place, and we will take the offering. All right. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask the Lord to bless this offering. And Brother Glory, will you do that for us, please, sir?
Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for this day that you've given us. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come together to worship, to praise, to fellowship, and to hear from your word. We pray that you meet this offering. Bless it to your church and to your ministry. We just pray that you love us and pray for you. We ask in our presence.
Amen. You may be seated.
We would sing song 14, but I don't know that one. So let's do song 15. Song number 15, Stepping in the Light. Well, I probably kind of know it, but not enough to.
Does anybody know
it? I kind of know it, but not enough to lead it. So 15, song number 15, Stepping in the Light. I'll let you all sit. Let's do songs or verse number 1, 2, and 4.
Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, trying to follow our Savior and King, shaping our lives by His blessed example. Happy, how happy the songs that we bring. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light. Pressing more closely to Him who is leading when we are tempted to turn from the way. Trusting the arm that is strong to defend us. Happy, how happy our praise is each day. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light. Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, upward, still upward, we'll follow our guide. When we shall see Him, the King, in His beauty, happy, how happy our place at His side. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, stepping in the light, stepping in the light. How beautiful to walk in the steps of the Savior, led in paths of light.
Thank you.
Alone and unforgiven, locked in my own prison, until I heard that Jesus held the key. But through his loving mercy, though I was unworthy, his nail-scarred hand reached down and rescued me. My debt was paid by the marvelous, glorious blood of Calvary. All washed away, every stain was covered by his grace. And since that day, all the chains of sin that did surround me, they all fell away when I called on his name. Oh, praise the Lord, my soul was saved, my debt was paid. When the past reminds me of the life I left behind me, and Satan tries to rob me of my peace, that's when I remember the day I was delivered. My soul sings hallelujah, I'm redeemed. My debt was paid by the marvelous, glorious blood of Calvary. All washed away, every stain was covered by his grace. And since that day, all the chains of sin that did surround me, they all fell away when I called on his name. Oh, praise the Lord, my soul was saved, my debt was paid. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. My debt was paid by the marvelous, glorious blood of Calvary. All washed away, every stain was covered by his grace. And since that day, all the chains of sin that did surround me, they all fell away when I called on his name. Oh, praise the Lord, my soul was saved. They all fell away when I called on his name. They all fell away when I called on his name. Oh, praise the Lord, my soul was saved. My debt was paid.
Amen. All God's people said, amen. Nothing like family harmony. Good singing. There's just something about Sarah and her sisters. They made a tape, cassette tape. I'll tell you how long ago that was. But there was just some harmony, blood, family, harmony. It's great. But I love the message more than the singing, definitely more than the looks. But praise the Lord, hallelujah. Anyway, I was stepping in the light. I was thinking about that, joyous stepping in the light. Well, I know one place that if you want to lose your religion, you got to go. That's the DMV. Any of you been there lately? Thank you, Brother Tom. Thank you, Pastor, because you're going next time. You have to go in and get in a line so you can get in another line so you can sit down and wait. And lady, I was sitting there. I got there about 10:30, and she said she'd been there since 7. And I looked up on the board, and I got a picture of it. I know you don't believe me, but it says 4.5 hours to 5 hours wait. I can lose my religion with just 2 hours. So I'm just telling you. It's crazy. It's crazy, but that's our government. I don't know how that... Anyway, that's not the way to start. Anyway, so we are in our series, Why We Are Baptist. Why We Are Baptist. And if you're going to gripe about being a Baptist, you're going to have to cowboy up, all right? This is a Baptist church, all right? And we're not going to change. We're not going to drop our name. We're not going to become a non-denominational. We already are a Bible church because we're a Baptist church. And so we are a Baptist church because of the book, the blood, and the blessed hope. Find a lot of people do not believe in one of those or all of those, the same as given to us in the Holy Scripture. So if you'll find Romans chapter number 4 tonight and stand in reverence and love of God's Word, I want to read a couple verses and then we'll get right into the message. Romans chapter number 4, and I want to look down in verse number 19. Romans 4:19. And being not weak in faith, he, who is Abraham, consider not his own body now dead. He was 100 years old. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the what? Promise of God through what? Unbelief. But was strong in faith, giving glory to who?
God.
And being, what's the next two words?
Fully
persuaded that what he had promised, he, which is God, was able to perform. Encourage you. We don't need to stagger at the promise. We need to be strong in faith. Fully persuaded in your own heart. I can't do that for you. You can't do that for me. I can only do it for myself. You got to be fully persuaded in your heart. Be strong in faith. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I come before you. Thank you for tonight. God, I thank you for those that come to an old-fashioned independent Baptist church and, God, bring their Bibles and get involved and want to learn and listen and surrender to your word and to your will. And I pray that you might bless tonight. Bless the reading of your word. I pray for our patch club as it goes. But God, meet with us tonight and bless the reading and preaching of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So certainties. They say that there's only two certainties. And what are they? Death and taxes, right? And everybody should be with taxes because the due date was April 15th. My wife was doing Joseph's at 11:30. On April 14th. And we were in bed and she goes, "Leave me alone. I can't think. I got to get this done. I got 30 minutes. I'm like, you should have. I look, anyway. But that should be over. That should be done with, right? But, you know, we preach. I don't preach to give you new theological discoveries. Say, you're not smart enough for that. Well, I'm not, you know. I'm not there to ring a bell of intellectual fantasies of people. I'm not there to convince the skeptics. I'm not there to win over the intellectual. I'm not there to give you reason and logic for the supernatural things that happen. That's not my job. My job is just to tell you what God has said, and I want to strengthen, I want to confirm, I want to build your faith in this book. Not in what we can see and what we can hear. Oh, if we could just see, if we could just taste it, if you could just prove to me, preacher, I can't. And I'm not an anthropologist and I'm not going to prove to you creation. I'm just going to say, in the beginning, God created. and so we must take that by faith. Because guess what? The natural man is going to have a hard time receiving this book. Look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 14, the Bible says, "But the natural man, the unsaved man, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." You wonder why other churches, the churches that have the entertainment and all that, they're growing, and the independent Baptist church that preach this book are not growing. Guess what? Because the natural man doesn't say, "Hey, let's go hear the Word of God." Now the music, yeah. The entertainment, the vision, all that kind of, hey, that appeals to the flesh. But this Bible doesn't always appeal to the flesh. In fact, if you go to a fundamental independent Bible thumping Baptist church, you might get your toes stepped on. You might get pointed out, "Hey, that's wrong. That's the wrong attitude. That's the wrong spirit. You shouldn't do that." Hey, that's what the Bible says. But yet, that's not what the natural man wants to hear. He wants entertainment. He wants to go away feeling good. The natural man. And I would rather tell the truth and have two than not tell the truth and have 50 or 500. Because I'm going to stand before the Lord. And that's not what they need anyway. They need to know the truth. But we need to build our faith. We need to be fully persuaded in our own mind. Look at Proverbs chapter 20 in verse number, or Proverbs 22 in verse number 20. Proverbs chapter 22 here in verse number 20 and 21. The Bible says, that I might make thee know the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sinned unto thee. Well, preacher, why do you believe there's a hell? Have you ever been there? No. Have you ever seen it? No. Well, have you ever talked about anybody that went there and came back? No. Well, how do you know? God said. That's all I need. That's all I can tell you. I believe this book. So I may make you know the certainty of these words. Look in Luke chapter number 1 and verse number 4. Luke chapter number 1 and verse number 4. Bible says here, Luke 1, 4, it says, that thou mightest know the certainty of those things wherein thou hast been instructed. The certainty. And if you don't believe this book, you're not going to have any certainty. Doesn't matter what anybody says. Doesn't matter what anybody preaches. You got to know this is right, and anything that disagrees with this is wrong. I just want to encourage you and strengthen, build, and confirm what you already know and believe. Oh, preacher, we've heard that thousands of times. Yes. But there are so many voices out there. So many people on the radio, so many people out there that disregard this book, that you got to make sure that you stay true to this book. Not to John Swope, Ted Swope, Bethel Baptist Church. No, to God's holy word. And we know something is wrong based upon the Word of God is a thermometer. If you have a temperature, is the problem the temperature? Can you get the temperature down by taking ibuprofen or whatever? But the temperature says, hey, there's something going on in your body. And unless you address the problem, the temperature is not really the main problem. The temperature is a siren going, hey, something's wrong. There's something going on in your body. And you shouldn't address the temperature. You ought to address the problem that's causing the temperature. And so I want to look tonight at Romans chapter number 4. And really Romans chapter number 4 is Paul writing the certainty of salvation by grace through faith, and that's it. But the certainty of the Word of God. We sing the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's a book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. What is one of the most important words in that song? I'll sing it to you again. The B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's a book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E Bible. Okay, huh? Stand. Alone. Who said that? Okay, alone. You can say, I believe the Bible, and I stand on this, and that's what most religions do. I believe in Jesus Christ, and I believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and I believe in this book and the Book of Mormon. But you better, I stand alone. Alone. That means apart from any other print, belief. Oh, well, I believe this because that's a mixture of what my family believes and our church believes. I believe this because this guy on the radio says this. I know the Bible says this, but I've kind of made my own beliefs. You remember Burger King? I mean, years ago? Hold the lettuce, hold the pickle, special orders, don't upset us. You know? Yeah. Have it your way. Have it your way. And that's religion. I'll just have it my way. Yeah, I believe the Bible, preacher, but I kind of add my own little twists and turns and beliefs. It's kind of like when I was single. What is the single man's delight? There's two things, basically, that I thought. That you fix by yourself. Macaroni and cheese. The single man's delight. What else? Pizza that you make yourself. Huh? Hot dogs, yeah.
What else? Spaghetti? No, not spaghetti. Hamburger helper. Hamburger helper. I mean, you could go there and you can get the Italian, you can get the cheeseburger, you can get the potatoes whatever, and Alfredo. I knew how to cook up some hamburger, and I look on there, okay, a half a teaspoon of this and a third cup of milk, and I would get my little thing out there, and I'd pour just a third. I'd put it all in there, cook it for 10 minutes. I'd set my clock for 10 minutes with 10 minutes. I'd take it off and stir it. Ooh, man, that's good stuff right there. But, you know, when my wife and my daughters, you know, I'm going to make some macaroni and cheese. And especially when we first got married, she made one macaroni and cheese, and she put it on there and had something else. I said, well, where's yours? She's like, what do you mean? I said, well, there's enough for me, but there's our whole family, four girls and mom and dad, ate one box of macaroni and cheese. I said, well, woman, you're married now. And I can eat one box by myself. But you know, I've never seen my wife pour the macaroni in the water and then go get a measuring cup and pour the milk to the third level. And she just grabs, oh, come on, honey, just pour it in there and slap, 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 slap. But you know, a cook, when you're a cook, you kind of make up your own. Is that right, Leah? I mean, she doesn't take the recipe and say, all right, this. She goes, I'll put a little bit of this in there, put a little of this in there, put a little of this in there. I'll put a little bit of this in there. And that becomes her recipe. You agree with me? If it's going to taste like you get a cookbook and it says this, follow this. If you're going to add to it, that's your recipe. And what I'm saying is most people, yeah, basically, it's basically that, but I add a little bit here and a little bit here and take away here and I not add that. That's not what you should do with the Word of God. It's the Bible alone. It's that recipe with nothing more, nothing less. Remember that diet that you could lose 10 pounds in like 4 days? And it said right on there, do this and do not substitute anything. Don't add salt, pepper, whatever. Don't add, you do exactly what that said. And that last day, you were supposed to eat a cup of tuna, a cup of carrots, a cup of greens. And I put it in the blender one time and said, hey, I can do it there. Don't do that. Okay, I'll just tell you right, don't do that. But I never did lose 10 pounds in 3 days because I could never do that just the way it said. But if you want to try it, I'll give it to you and you can try it. Amen. But it said right there, do not substitute anything. Do exactly what you're supposed to do. And they guaranteed this. You're the Word of God. You need to stand. I stand alone on the Word of God, not on my teaching and someone else's teaching, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. No. Alone. I stand alone on the Word of God. And I think that's what he was saying in Romans chapter number 4, that salvation is by grace through Christ alone, not by anything else. And so, in fact, promise is mentioned 4 times in this passage. Abraham was giving a promise. Let's look at Romans chapter 4, verse number 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of what? Okay, so the promise. A promise is given to you. What assurance do you have that somebody's going to come through on their promise? You don't have any assurance. The only certainty you have is the character of that person, right? I mean, a check all it is a check. write out a check. I promised that they could take this much money out of my account and give it to you. How many people take checks today? No checks. You know why? Because just like when we were in Beeville and we sold some puppies, a lady wrote us a check for $400, and we went to take it to the bank, and it started bouncing. She wasn't going to come through on that. She had no intention of giving us $400 for that dog, and she knew it. And a check, a promise is, hey, I promise to pay you. And Abraham had a promise. That's all he had. At age 75, God said, I'm going to give you a son. And it wasn't until he was 100. That's 25 years that he had to wait for God to answer that promise. But he believed. He believed in the Word of God. But look here. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Why wasn't it through the law? Was the law given during Abraham's lifetime? No. The law to the nation of Israel was given to the nation of Israel later on, centuries after Abraham. And if righteousness of God was by the law, Abraham lived hundreds of years before the law. It wasn't to him. It was by faith. And it says that it might be, through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise is made of none effect. So, the law was only something, the Mosaic law was not given so that they could become God's people. The Mosaic law was given to the nation of Israel to take heed with, it had to do with their behavior, the behavior of a redeemed people that were already a promised people that would help them have health. It was aimed to help them have health, happiness, and holiness. But it didn't, anything that they didn't, did not bring them into the covenant of God. It didn't. They were already God's chosen people. The Abraham covenant was to Abraham, and he didn't say, Abraham, if you do this and you do this and you do this, you will be my chosen people. He said, you are my chosen people, period. Now here's the way I want you to live. You know, the same way today. You're not saved by what you do. You're not saved by a creed. You're not saved, well, pastor preaches that we ought to do this. It isn't in order to get saved. It isn't in order to keep your salvation. Once you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you see yourself as a sinner, you believe in Jesus Christ, you place your faith and trust in Him, you ask Him to save you, you are saved eternally. Now, I guess people said, nothing you can do can bring you into that covenant and that promise of Almighty God. Nothing can take you out of that promise. But God wants you to have a blessed life. He wants you to have peace. He wants you to have prosperity. He wants you to have power over sin. And you live in sin, that's not going to happen. You're not going to have the peace of God. In fact, the most miserable person on earth is the carnal Christian. The unsaved person has no idea what they're missing. The saved person ought to know, hey, I'm saved, I'm God's child, but I'm not doing right. So there ought to be a conscience, there ought to be the Holy Spirit pricking our hearts and saying, hey, you're not doing right. Hey, you need to get right with God. There's a loving Heavenly Father that loves you, that wants to be in communion and in a walk, in a life's walk with you. And so it was for Abraham, but it was for, was it just for Abraham and the Jews? It says, listen to this, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham nor to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, those that are Jews, they're Jews because they're law, because of the law, faith is made a void, and the promise is made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. You got to have law to know what's wrong, if you're doing right or wrong. But it says in verse 16, look at verse 16. Therefore, it is of what? Faith. It's not in the law. The law doesn't bring you into salvation. The keeping of the law, the right of religion, nothing of that kind. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. Grace is God's unmerited favor. Hey, you and I live by the grace of God. We breathe by the grace of God. We have goodness because and blessings because of the grace of Almighty God. Not of what I do, not who I am. Even Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God. But look here. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. Well, see right there, preacher. All the seed of Abraham, all the Jews, yes, all the... Keep reading. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. You're brought into favor by grace. You're brought into the family of God by grace. The only way the Jews are going to go to heaven, folks, is if they accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We've been accused on the internet, oh, you Zionists, you believe that just because somebody's a Jew, they're going to go to heaven because they're God's chosen people? No, never heard that from this pulpit. Never heard that from this preacher. I don't care who you are. I don't care what your last name is. I don't care what your nationality is. You have to trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior in order to go to heaven. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That was Jesus Christ. You have to believe in Jesus Christ and place your faith and trust in Him. Forsaking all, I trust Him. It's not Jesus and another person. Jesus and baptism. No, it's Jesus Christ alone. Alone. And He says, but to that also which is of faith, of the faith of Abraham. So all who believe. Believe is mentioned 143 times in the Bible. Acts 6:31. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Romans chapter number 10. And you know it by heart. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But you got to believe in your heart. You got to believe in your heart. So it brings you into God's favor. It brings you into God's family. Then look at verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. So Abraham believed God. Go back to Genesis chapter 15. When he was telling him that he was going to be the father of many nations and going to be Father Abraham, Genesis chapter number 15, look here, Genesis chapter 15 and verse number 2, he says, and Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one board of my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. You have to remember, he was in his 90s. And he was 100 years old when Isaac was born, and Sarah was old. And he's thinking, what? Are you serious? How could that be? But that was God's promise to him. How am I going to believe that? What do you mean? What? Didn't make sense to him. But look, it says, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Same way today. You have to believe in the Lord. But he said, look at the stars. Can you number the stars? I mean, with our finite mind and eyes, and yes, we can look. I mean, we have more technology today. And how big the sun is, and how big the moon is, and how big our earth is. I mean, if you start studying all that and reading all that, it's just mind-boggling how little the earth is and how many stars and galaxies and everything around. They asked the young lady, said, which is closer, Florida or the moon? And she said, the moon. And he said, no, it's that. How, why? She said, well, I can't see Florida, but I can see the moon. Anyway. But he said, look, and he says, then he believed God. And he believed God for two reasons. Look at this, back in Romans chapter number 4. It says, verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. He looked at his body and he looked at his wife's body and said, I don't know if this is going to happen or not, but you say we're still going to have a child. And through us, the Lord, the whole earth is going to be blessed through our lineage. And Abraham was the father of the Jewish nation, which Jesus Christ was born and came, his earthly lineage came through there. And look at the intendancy, verse 18, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. I don't know. It seems like this is impossible, preacher. There's no way that that can happen. Hey, think of Abraham. Hope against hope. There's no way. The only one in my house is my hired servant. And God said, that's not my plan. My plan is to have a seed through you and Sarah. And Sarah, the Bible said Sarah laughed about that. Am I this old and going to have a child? But they had to believe in God. And look what he says. It says in verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He was looking at the impossibility of man, but then he was looking at the possibilities of Almighty God. Verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. If you're going to believe God and have a strong faith and not waver, you got to believe in the promises of this book. What he said. That's what God said. I'm just going to take God at his word. The Bible says, let God be true and everybody and everyone a liar. It says it is impossible for God to lie. So Abraham says, I don't understand it. I know the impossibility of me and Sarah and the logic and the reason and the human, just all this, us having a child, impossible at our age. But he believed in the promise of God. There's a lot of promises in this book. I'm saved because I believe the promise, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I did what Romans 10 told me to do. You know, sometimes second and third generation Christians, we struggle, be truthful. Because when we got saved, we didn't quit smoking. We didn't quit drinking. We didn't quit carousing. Our lives didn't, I never tried drugs in my life. And in Baptist Seminary School, we had to memorize scripture. We had to read our paces that had scriptures all in them. We had to go to church. I've been in church all my life. So am I saved? Am I really saved? I mean, I hear about all this and, you know, a hunger for God's word. I don't know about you. Sometimes it's hard to, it's a struggle to pray. It's a struggle to be faithful in your Bible reading, in your relationship to Christ. Even you as a pastor? Yes. The devil doesn't want you to pray and read your Bible. He'll distract you. He'll do anything. He'll make you busy and busy and busy so you don't have time. But how do I know I'm saved? And I have to go back to the time that I knelt and I said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. Save me. Come into my heart. I did what Romans 10 told me to do. I placed my faith and trust in you. And I'm not trusting in my baptismal record and my church attendance record. I'm trusting in that I asked Jesus to save my soul. And you ought to too. And I live for Him because He's coming back. How do you know He's coming back? Because He promised. He said, if I go away, I will come again. How do you know you're not going to go through the tribulation period? Because the Bible says the church is going to be taken out. The saved are going to be raptured out before the tribulation happens. Amen. That's what the Bible says. And you got to believe the promises of this Bible. Then it says, and being fully persuaded that what He had promised, He was able also to perform. Not only you believe in the promises, but you believe in the power of Almighty God. What is it that God cannot do? Cannot lie. Cannot change. And He cannot take you to heaven unless you get saved. But God, what storm can hold Him back? What devil and all his mediums and all his forces can stop? No greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm telling you, there's nothing that God cannot do. You got to believe in the power of Almighty God. My God can still a storm. My God can raise the dead. He can heal the blind. It's the same Jesus that I serve is the Jesus of this Bible. And He did tons of miracles. And He's still doing miracles today. I think of Brother Murphy. His dad would go into bars, and Brother Murphy was, I think, a young teenager or before teenager, but his dad would start fights, and Brother Murphy would have to finish them. Rough guy. And somehow, Brother Murphy heard the gospel and got saved. When we started going to Faith Baptist Church in Meeker, he would go downstairs to the children's Bible hour or the junior church to hear the Bible stories. That's how he learned the Bible. He was rough. But when I went there, he wanted to serve God. His life had changed. And he didn't say, well, I went to AA one time. And well, I woke up and I decided, you know, I want to change my life. He said, I got saved. And the Lord changed my life. It's wonderful. Wonderful. Believe in the power of Almighty God. Well, preacher, I know that's back then, and Abraham, he believed God and was counted to him for righteousness, I know, but is it really relevant for us today? Well, I'm glad you ask, because verse 22, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. What was imputed? His faith. Being fully persuaded, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. That's what imputed. And if you look in this verse, in this chapter, imputed, counted, and reckoning all are the same Greek word. That means to deposit into your account. And God didn't import righteousness into Abraham because of what he did, because of circumstances. We'll get to that next week. And look at all that. He did it because of his faith. But verse number 23. Now it was not written for his sake. What's the next word? There's that word again. I stand alone. Wasn't just for Abraham's faith and Abraham's family alone that it was imputed to him, but for who? Us also. Woo-hoo! Amen. To us. It wasn't just given to Abraham to say, Abraham, I'm going to give you imputed righteousness because you believed God and you trusted God and you staggered not and you were strong in faith and you believed in the promises of God and in the power of God. But I'm writing this down in the Holy Scriptures for 2026. For Christians that believe in God, believe and carry a King James Bible. It says, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed if you go to a Bible-believing Baptist church. Is that what it says? If you carry a King James Family Bible. No. If we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. That's for us. For us. But you and I must have faith. Not in us. Romans 4. And we'll get to it next time. It talked about David, or it talked about Abraham and David, and talked about the rite of circumcision. And yes, you know, all that in what religion does and what religion can do and laws and commandments, nothing of that sort has to do with your salvation and eternal salvation and your sonship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only belief and faith in His name. Placing your faith in Him. But yes, we ought to do some things because we are saved. The law, like I said, the Mosaic law was given to them, the behavior for the redeemed covenant people. Not so they can get in the covenant, they're already in the covenant. But they could live a blessed life. And I guarantee you, we get saved through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we ought to live by this book because we are saved. Because we are saved. And we want to be blessed. So, He says it was written, not for His sake alone, that it was imputed to Him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Those in Abraham's day had to look forward to Calvary, had to look forward to the finished work on Calvary. We that live now, we look back to the finished work on Calvary. But it's not anything different. It's not, well, they did it by the law and they did it by the rites of their religion. No. They had to have faith. And it's just like salvation is by faith alone. Your belief and your faith ought to be in this book alone. I stand alone on the Word of God. Not a mixture of this and this. I believe that, preacher, but I believe in a mixture. Have it your way. I'll put a little pinch of this in here, and I'm not going to put that in there, and I'm going to put a little bit in there. It doesn't become God's recipe. It becomes your recipe. I stand alone on the Word of God. Believe in the promises of this book, then believing in the power of God to be able to do what He said He would do. Abraham, it's impossible. It was a laughing affair for Sarah. Me to have a baby at this age? Are you serious? And my husband, are you serious? But God had promised that 25 years earlier. God's word came true. And all of us are blessed through the line, through the Jewish, the human side of the line and lineage of Abraham and David that came our Lord Jesus Christ. So believe in the faith, the just shall live by faith. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I come before You. Thank You for tonight. God, we love You. I'm so glad that You love us. God, I pray that You might bless our dear people. God, help us to be people of the book. We help us to stand alone on the Word of God. Not what we've heard, not what our family believes, not tradition, but God, believe the Word of God by itself. And do it. Bless our dear people in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We'll be looking, finishing up the book, and then we'll be looking at the blood and the blessed hope. All right. Had several call in tonight. Brother Heston had to go to the hospital today, having heart issues, breathing issues, and he has three leaky valves. Is that right? Three leaky valves, and he's trying to get it taken care of. But pray for Brother Heston. Pray for Brad Newman, and also for Sister Newman. Brother Moyer called and said he left Sunday church not feeling well. Of course, he didn't come back Sunday night, and he called this afternoon and said, I'm just not feeling well. So pray for Brother Moyer and Sister Moyer. Sister Woody called and said she wouldn't be here tonight. She's still not feeling well. Brother Sanborn left church Sunday, but you're here. Praise the Lord. Feeling better? Is he feeling better? No? But you came anyway. Praise the Lord. All right. And then the Ames are on their way to Utah, and they're in Wyoming, and there's a lot of weather and stuff, so pray for them tonight. Anybody else tonight? Lori. Okay. Lori's mom's really battling health, so pray for them. Is that Brianna or Hannah?
Hannah,
okay.
There's going to be a court hearing with the grand jury next week, and we need God to intervene and take that. And then let there be an impact.
Okay. All right. Pray for Hannah, especially. All right. Glenda.
I have a prayer.
Okay. Good, good, good. I need you to put Jim Overton. He was my treasurer in Meeker, and they found cancer and prayed that it wouldn't be, but they took him in, and they think they got it all. So remember Jim Overton. He called me yesterday. He was still in the hospital, but just remember him in prayer. All right, anybody else? Yes, sir. What's the name of the family?
Her name is Isley Dalver.
Dalver?
Dalver. So D-A-L-V-E-R-G.
R-G. Okay. All right. Might put Nathan and Katie as they anticipate getting married, and Alex and Leah. I don't know which one to pray for the most, but no, pray for them as they anticipate to get married. Brother Hein. Okay, Brenda Moss family, okay? Okay. Pray for my brother and sister Martin. I was supposed to talk to him today. I didn't. He was going to have the inspector come today, but they've had an offer on their house, and so, and if that takes place, they're supposed to be out by May 20th. 20-something, so it's going to come quick. Pray that God will lead them to go right, where God wants them to go. And if you'd like for them to stay in your house, then let me know. We're trying to get... So, you want to take them? Was that a yes? Oh. They wouldn't like it? Okay. Yes, sir. Okay, used to be Naomi Havner, but now she's Naomi Talbert and get with child. Praise the Lord. All right. Pam?
Pray for my mom and dad.
Okay. Gerald, Gloria, and Judy. Okay, Gerald. Okay? Gerald, Gloria, and Judy. All right? Anybody else? Yes, sir. Okay. Pray for Zane. Zane lives on the popular street, St. Clair, of the elite up north. So we've lived there 16 years, and I think we've known you, what, five? And they just live like two blocks away. So pray for Zane. All right. Anybody else? Sister Rowe. Okay. Whose wife is she? Mark's. Mark's wife. Okay. All right. Tracy. Okay. All right. Anybody else? All right. Well, let's have a word of prayer and then we'll end in a song. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you tonight. God, we love you and so thankful that you love us. And God, thank you for your word, all your promises that you've given us. And God, the unconditional promise that if we'll accept you and believe in you and trust in you and ask you to save us, God, we can become your child and we can have eternal life. And God, I pray that we might live and be a testimony and a witness in this ungodly world. And God, I thank you for hearing our prayers and answering our prayers. And God, I pray for all these on our list. God, many of them are physical. There's other situations, other necessities that people need your help and your guidance with. And I pray that you might meet the needs on the hearts of your people. Pray for the day Sunday. You might give us a great day. Pray for our dear people. Thank you for them being here tonight. And just heal them and be at the other situations in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, let's all stand. And we will sing, God Can Do Anything But Fail. We sang that the other day, right? It's what page? It's in the first of our book. Let's see. Nine? Page nine. God Can Do Anything But Fail. God can do anything. God can do anything but fail. He can save, he can keep, he can cleanse, and he will. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything. God can do anything but fail. Amen. You're dismissed.